take your Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9. Let me remind you how we got to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 1, we find that the nation of Judah, as well as Israel, had rebelled. Israel fell first in about 721, and then Judah did not learn, and she kept on rebelling herself. And so about 605, the Babylonians came in. We find from Jeremiah that King Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God to be a chastisement to the nation of Judah. And so we find Daniel in chapter 1, he still stuck to his guns, was faithful to the Lord, purpose in his heart to do what was right. Also, we find in Daniel chapter 2 that King Nebuchadnezzar had a great dream that nobody could interpret but Daniel. Daniel was given honor and glory because of that, and he was elevated to a position of authority. Then Daniel chapter 3, we don't see Daniel there, but we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now that King Nebuchadnezzar sees the dream, makes a statue kind of according to the dream, and commands all to bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not. They're cast into the fiery furnace. God sends the fourth man and saves them. And so we find God's greatness there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, again, appointed to a high position. Then we get to chapter 4. We see another great dream interpreted by Daniel about King Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom that will fall. Then chapter 5, there's the handwriting on the wall that Daniel interprets. And we're going to find that night that the Babylonian Empire ends because of the Mede and Medo-Persian Empire. And so there's a change there. Daniel chapter 6 goes back. There's a dream this time by Daniel himself. He dreams and interprets the dream. Daniel chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9 really speak about these things that Daniel sees and helps us to recognize and understand the goodness of God. I should have said Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and was found faithful and again elevated during that time. And so God used all these things to show Daniel what was going to take place, but also to show others that God is in control and he brings up and takes down those things that he desires. Well, we get to Daniel chapter 9 and we're going to find another dream, and we understand that God does great things, but this time Daniel is not dreaming the dream itself, but trying to interpret the dream. And so it'll be good as we look at this. So Daniel chapter 9, and I'm going to read just a few verses before I get down to verse 16. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of Medes, which the king made over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolation in Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercies to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and we have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and we have rebelled, even by the departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened to the servants of the prophets which spake in thy name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteous belong to thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass they have trespassed against you. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercy, forgiveness, that we have rebelled against him. Now jump to verse 16. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins, for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O God, our God, hear the prayer of thy servants and his supplications, thy face to shine upon thee, and thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear to hear, and open thine eyes, behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not thine own sake, O my God, for thy cities and thy people are called by thy name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for Daniel. We thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness to seek after your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given him wisdom and guidance to see the things that will come to pass. And Lord, that those things were written down for us that we too may understand our future. And so, Lord, today we ask for wisdom and guidance as we read your word. We ask to be able to apply it. We ask, O Lord, that we would just simply think of those things that you'd have us to be and simply do them with all of our heart. Lord, I pray that you'd move mightily this morning with great conviction, that you bring us unction and guidance, that we may be your people doing your will. Thank you, Lord, again for your promise that when your word is read, you will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, I heard about a salesman going from house to house to house, and he knocks on the door, and a 9-year-old boy opens the door smoking a long black cigar. Kind of astonished, the salesman said, "Is your mother here?" And he took the cigar out of his mouth, kind of flicked the ashes on the carpet there, and says, "What did you think?" Kind of surprised him, and I like that old saying this, "When the cat is away, the mice will play." And that is exactly what happens to the nation of Judah. They forgot about the one true God. They forgot of his power and his greatness and his holiness. They forgot that God was ever present. And so then, because of that, they turned their eyes and followed idols and wicked things. They turned away from the precepts of God, and God truly judged them. And we need to recognize that same thing will happen to us if we don't turn and run from those things and follow the Lord. We need to understand that God wants us to be in his will completely. And so Daniel, having that same thought, wants to be in God's will, wants to understand, because of those past dreams that he's had, because of the past dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and those others, he knows there's a change coming, and he wants to be found faithful. And so he begins to read the Word of God to understand and follow what God's will is. And so let me just share a few things from this passage that really should speak to us this morning about how we should be living. First, there's Daniel in his reading of the Word. Daniel in his reading the Word. We will see Daniel getting a written Word of God and read through that looking for answers because of those great questions that he had. Now, I don't know where the copy came from. I'm sure he didn't go down to the Holiday Inn and look in the drawer and get a Gideon Bible, because there was not such thing. But he did find a copy of God's Word and began to read those things. And let me just share some things about this. One, there for us, there should be a priority to read the Word. There should be a priority to read the Word. And again, verse 2 says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of God came to Jeremiah." And so he began to recognize, I'm going to read through these books, read through these scrolls, read through these words that Jeremiah had written down. And so we recognize there was a priority. Just as we find in Daniel chapter 6, there's a priority to pray, now we find there's a priority to seek out the Scripture and understand the Word of God. And by the way, we should do the same. I like Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And then at the very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And you may say, "Well, that's for the end of the world," but I'm telling you, it is good for us to apply that to the whole Word of God. We should be a people that read the Word of God. And it seems that we have a problem with that today, not just in particular our church, but that nation in a general. As Christian people, we fail to read God's Word as we should. Some may suggest, or some may have lots of excuses. Maybe Daniel could have made an excuse. Daniel was a very, very busy man. Matter of fact, when you go back to Daniel chapter 6, he was at the top of the nation. If you read chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." And then in Daniel chapter 11, we find this, speaking about that. "Also in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and strengthen him." Daniel was a man that served the king. He had the high priority of simply keeping a country running as it should. He was busy and yet still found time to read the Word of God. But not just reading the Word of God, even the prophecies found in God's Word. Now I know sometimes, especially after the last few weeks, we spoken about the dreams of Daniel, and I've just noticed sometimes the crowd, your eyes kind of just glaze over when you think about those prophecies of the things to come sometimes. But Daniel thought it was important to read those things. Matter of fact, I think we should also do as well. There are 31,124 verses in the Bible. 8,352 are about prophecy. That's roughly 75% of the Bible speaks about prophetic things. And we, or I should say, 25% or 21% speak about prophetic things. And roughly 75% of those have already been fulfilled. Therefore, we recognize God's word has spoken and it is truly true. And so again, we recognize he's reading this scroll from Jeremiah. We find that again in verse 2. And it's interesting to recognize that Jeremiah was writing this probably even before Daniel was born, even before Babylon falls. And so Jeremiah knows that these are ancient prophecies and they are still coming true in his day. And so we give preference to those guys we know that speak the truth. Even today, we understand that when somebody speaks and it comes to pass, we give them kind of reverence. I think some of you probably maybe follow some of the guys on Wall Street. And when a Wall Street guru says this and it takes place, you kind of take notice, because when he says the next event is coming, you kind of put some creed into that. And it's kind of like us. If we think things that people are speaking are true, we follow them. It's kind of like the weather sometimes, though. We find those guys speaking about climate change and the things that will happen. Matter of fact, I shouldn't say his name, but I will. Al Gore in 2009 said by the year 2013, there'll be no more ice on the North Pole and the South Pole. And yet we know that it's not true. And so those that speak the truth and it comes true, we give them great reverence. All I'm trying to say is that when Daniel read Jeremiah, he knew he could trust those words. And so today, we too should be able to trust the Word of God and give it a priority in our life. But not just a priority to read the Word. Notice the prophet of reading the Word. The prophet of reading the Word. He will discover something amazing. He will discover God's plan for Israel and himself in this book. So again, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So he's reading the word, probably Jeremiah chapter 25 or 29, and reads that, yes, Babylon will come in, Babylon will conquer, but only conquer for 70 years, and then the people will be released back. Daniel reads this. Again, amazing how these things will come to true exactly as God said. So let me read to you what Daniel was reading. Jeremiah 29. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, to the priests and to the prophets. Remember, this is Daniel, the people, he was with the people that were carried away into this foreign land, and to all the people that whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And that Jeconiah, the king and the queen, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elias, the son of Shaphan, and Gareem, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build your houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat fruit, take your wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give daughters to your husbands, that they may bear sons, that you may increase there and not be diminished. Then it says, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. And so Daniel, reading these words, recognized God had a plan for Israel to bring them back. How good it is to recognize that we can read the same thing that Daniel wrote or written those or saw read those days, that we can understand that God's word still is true for us. And so for us, we dig down and we recognize we're not going to get out of Babylon because that's been done. But notice some things that are profitable for us. One, God's word brings great profit, one, by keeping us from sin. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. God's word tells us and gives us profit and guides us. It tells us to hide the word in our hearts. Secondly, we find the word gives us life. Proverbs chapter 3 says this, my son, forget not thy law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And then Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thirdly, it produces a spiritual growth. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The word gives us guidance. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word shows us how to go. God's word sanctifies us and sets us free. John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then Jesus said about that, John 8, 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so God's word brings great profit in our lives if we will read that and hide that in our hearts. And so before I move on, let me ask you, would you commit to reading the word of God? Daniel thought it important to see God's word and understand God's word so the future would be revealed. We should too. Secondly, will you allow it to change your actions based on its truth? Will you read God's word and see what it says and let it move you to follow those things? Will you allow the word of God to transform your lives? Where I went to school at, they had a great motto, changing the world with the unchanging word. Let me say that again. Changing the world with the unchanging word. God's word has been written down. It has been secured. It has been inspired. It has been used greatly to change the world, and we must be a part of that. Daniel read the word of God. But now notice the second thing. Not Daniel just in his reading the word, but Daniel's response to the word. Daniel's response to the word. Notice what he's going to do. First is Daniel, he's going to run to the Lord. The running to the Lord. Daniel begins to read and finds the plan of God, and so he begins to seek that with all of his heart. Notice there is a great focus in verse 3. I set my face into the Lord to seek my prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel has this desire to simply set before the Lord, to seek him with all of his heart. And so you may be asking, when Daniel reads this about how God's going to bring the people out, that God's going to let them only be in captivity for 70 years, why not just rest on that? Why not worry about that? Why not just kind of continue on knowing that God's going to do as God says? Why even pray about this? Well, let me remind you, God says something more than just, I'm going to bring you out. Jeremiah 29 says this again, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I read that earlier. But notice verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found to you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all other places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again to the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So the Lord said, I'm going to do this, but I want you to seek me with all your heart. And Daniel truly understood that. He just doesn't want to escape Babylon. He wants a closeness to the Lord. He wants God to be the very center of his life so this does not happen again. Israel had turned from God, but now God, through their captivity, is going to turn them back to him. It's important for us to recognize that we just don't want to seek the hand of God, but we truly want to seek the face of God. You know, there's a real danger in just allowing God's word and God's precepts to be around you, but not really focused on you. Do you know the Pharisees, which were so disliked in the New Testament, their origin started right after Babylon captivity was taken away. There was a group of people, when they left Babylon, said, you know what, we got to get right with God. We did wickedly, therefore let us do good like never before. And they started out right. The Pharisees, or this group that would become the Pharisees, started doing good. But somehow through their doing good, they lost the fact of why they were doing good. And that is the face of God. And they began to do empty rituals once again, and how they lost favor with their Father above. And so we need our face turned back to the Lord in sincerity and truth to focus on him. How to do that? Well, I like Jesus and his words in Matthew chapter 6, when he speaks about when we pray, enter into a closet. And I know one thing he was trying to say, don't make a show of prayer. But there's another aspect of enter to your closet to pray, and that is this idea of removing distractions in your life. to simply focus on the one true God. Have you ever talked to somebody on the phone or talked to somebody in person, and you're talking to them, and I've talked to my wife because I like her, amen. And so I'm talking to her, and she's talking back, and then I say, I ain't going to say that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I'm talking again, and then that's right, yeah, and we go back, anybody else have done that before? And you think, who are you talking to? Either you or me. Talk to them or me. And so sometimes in our life with God, we're not really seeking His face. We're seeking what He can do for us, His hands. We want God's blessings. We want God's actions. We want God's help. But how often do we put up our distractions and truly seek the face of God? And that's all Daniel was saying. I turn my face to Him because he wants God's face to turn toward him. And we need to be a people that are willing to truly come before the Lord and seek His face with all of our heart. But notice the things he does to do that. One, we're going to find that he's a man that fasts. That he truly begins to seek the Lord through fasting. Verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And just a reminder that this fasting will be a focus from the inside. And so when those hunger pains begin to hit, you remind yourselves to pray. When those hunger pains kind of hit, we remind ourselves that God is our provider. And those fasting days cause us to set our face on Christ Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, and Jesus said, saying this, that a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so in our time of physical fasting, we focus on the words that God gives us. And it helps us to be focused on Him, so much so that our life is truly empowered. And again, I don't want to get too far off here, but remember the story in Matthew chapter 17 when the disciples were brought this man that had a son that basically was sore vexed, and he'd fallen to the fire and fallen to the waters, and they could not heal him. And Jesus was brought, and they said, your disciples could not heal him. And he said this in Matthew 17, and Jesus said unto them, because your unbelief, verily I say unto you, you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it shall be said to this mountain, remove ye hence yonder, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And so fasting simply focused the inside toward the Father. But also there's something else, that the idea of sackcloth. And this is not a reminder from the inside. This is a reminder from the outside. And so think about a camel skin coat turned inside out with a camel skin hair on you. And just how itchy and terrible that be, that those woolen garments maybe with the fur on the inside that made you very uncomfortable. It was really just a picture of trying to get past all the comforts in life so we focus again on the Lord above. So he said, I fasted and put on sackcloth. And then there's the ashes, the sign of repentance. It is a sign of humbleness and lowliness of heart. I like what Genesis 18:27 says. And Abraham said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. That lowliness of the Abraham's desires, it was low before the Lord. And then we find in Jonah chapter 3 another great example. It says this in Jonah 3:6, For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast or herd or flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mildly to God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is their hand. Even the unrighteous king of Nineveh recognized about being humble before the Lord and put on sackcloth and ashes. And so we recognize that God wants us to be a humble, humble people. I wonder today, when we truly seek God, is it with these desires to be humble before Him? Daniel was a man that ran to the Lord. He had a desire to be close to Him. But notice the second thing, not just running to the Lord, but now the recognition of God's greatness. Daniel's going to recognize something about God that we should do too. Notice in verse 4, he says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. he's going to use several words to describe God. This word here is going to be Yara. It is awesome. It is amazing, this word dreadful. We would say awesome today, and how we have misused that word so much. We have kind of dumbed down those great words in the Bible. Sometimes we talk about what awesome is. You can talk about, I went to Subway and had an awesome sub. That's good. But it's not the awesomeness of God. God's awesomeness is the one that spoke creation to existence, that raised the dead to life, that did many wonderful things. That is an awesome God. This Daniel recognized Yara, the great and dreadful God. Verse 7, he says, O Lord, righteousness belongs to thee. That is Adonai. He is the master of all things. And then in verses 8 and 10, he says, O Lord, that is Yahweh, the personal name of God, that also is the covenant maker, he who brings to pass, the performer of his promises. Daniel recognized there was a God in heaven, that when he spoke the word, it would come to pass, and that when God said something, it would be, that he could be trusted. He uses several more. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness. Verse 14, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought to pass. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works. Daniel recognizes who God is. And by the way, our society has missed the boat so many times in recognizing God. Sometimes we talk about the man upstairs. And let me just remind you, he is not just the man upstairs. He is God, the creator, God the empower, God the transformer, God, not just some distant thing in that we relate to like that. He's not the one that sends good vibes. He is the Holy One with all power and authority. And until you recognize God as holy and sovereign, with all power and authority, that has your very life in his hands, you will not run to him as you should. So notice what it leads to, not just the running of the Lord and the recognition of God's greatness, but now the repentance of his sins, the repentance of his sins. Daniel will recognize and confess his sins, not just his sins, but the sins of Israel. Now you think about Daniel just for a moment. He was a pretty good fellow. Matter of fact, when they're trying to get him in Daniel chapter 6, those enemies of Daniel, they'll say, we can't find any fault in Daniel except for the fault that he serves his God. And so Daniel was a man that truly loved the Lord. And yet we will find he's a man that had confessed his sins over and over again. And I think those things can be seen clearly. Notice he could say, we have deviated from your commands. Verse 5, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly and have rebelled. It's amazing he used the pronoun we, not they. Do you know we're pretty good about talking other people's sins? We're pretty good about calling out others and their sins. We're pretty good about calling and said, look what they've done. They've caused this. We live in a nation because of those guys. Not Daniel. He didn't blame the political parties. He didn't blame those in charge or those. He said, we have done these things. Matter of fact, notice the word rebelled. He says, and have rebelled. You know, I don't want to get too political here, but you know, there's some Christian groups that are hyper in nature that says that God is sovereign, and God is sovereign, that God is so sovereign that it causes everything to happen that is, even the sins of man. But Daniel doesn't see it that way. Daniel says, we have rebelled. We have turned away from your great will. And so, my friends, recognize when we sin, it is a rebellion against God. James chapter 1, verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. How about verse 11? Yea, all Israel has transgressed against thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written of the law of Moses and the servants, because we have sinned against him. And so not only had they deviated from the commands, but also notice they had doubted the prophets. Verse 6 again says, neither have we hearkened to thy servants, the prophets. In other words, we have failed to listen to what those godly men had to say, speaking by the word of God. We have doubted the word of God. But then he reminds us that we're all guilty. Notice verse 8, that we deserve this. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face. That word confusion is Bosheth in the word there, the original word. It means shame or shameful thing. He says, we deserve this. So many times in our generation, I hear people say, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve these things. I don't deserve. Yes, we do. We deserve everything that happens to us for all of sin and fall short of the glory of God. He goes on to say in verse 11, yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they may not obey his voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and his oath is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. The Galatian writer said this in chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Numbers 32:23 says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. And so we find there's a great correction that has came to the nation of Israel. And so it will be our nation if we don't turn ourselves. I hear so many people preach about tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. Can I tell you, as we look at this next little part, tolerance is the exact opposite of repentance. It is simply saying that I'm okay like I'm am. But the Bible says that we have sinned greatly before the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you and to your children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he corrects, who receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, we're of all our partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. And so let me just remind you as we look at this, that Daniel recognized his sin. Daniel understood that the nation had sinned and turned away. He'd sought the Lord and saw the greatness of God, and in that same moment, he also saw himself. So I wonder today, have you truly sought the Lord? Have you truly searched for him? Have you truly tried to get close to the Father above? Do you have a good understanding of his God's greatness and power and his awesomeness? Do you understand you cannot have eternal salvation and early satisfaction without repentance? Daniel understood that. You cannot come to the Lord today and say, Lord, you do your thing and I will do my thing. Repentance is always a heart issue that says, I will follow you. I will turn from my ways into your ways. Daniel responded to God and said, I'm a sinful man. Please, O Lord, have mercy and grace. And so notice the last part. Not just Daniel and his reading the word, not just Daniel's response to the word, but Daniel and his request. Daniel is going to offer a prayer and seek the Lord. Notice verse 16. O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and fury be turned away. So notice that first thing is turn your fury away and forgive. Turn your fury away and forgive. Daniel again recognizes they had forsaken the law. They had forsaken the follow the Sabbath. They had killed and turned away from the prophets. For the last 490 years, they have found themselves now in captivity for the next 70 years because of those last 490 years. And so he now says, turn away your anger and your fury. They'd experienced a great beating by the hand of the Lord. So he says, please, Lord, relent. Notice, not because we deserve it, but because we need it. Verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Daniel says, we deserve every bit of this, but please, please relent. Forgive us and remove that. How good it is today when we come before the Father and we recognize our sins, and we too can have the same prayer as Daniel. I like what it says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, please remove your fury. But he doesn't stop there. Notice, turn your face toward us. Not just your fury, but turn your face toward us. Verse 17. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant in supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Cause thy face to shine. Daniel sought the Lord's face, and now wants his face to shine. I'm reminded again of Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Again, so many people just want the hands of God and not his face. But he recognizes how good it is when God's face shines upon the nation and upon himself. And again, verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. He just reiterates that prayer. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. Do not defer. How good it is when we recognize that God does hear, that God is willing to forgive. God is willing to offer mercy and grace for all that call upon him. Just know this. God wants what's best for you, and his way is best. So why not follow and trust the Lord today and see what you've been missing? You may be here thinking, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past life. You don't know the iniquities in my life. I'm telling you, no matter what it is, God's made a provision for all of us, just as he did with Daniel and the nation, that they may come back. How good it is when we trust in that one that gives those things. One of my favorite songs is this. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. We understand that. We understand God's blessings. But sometimes things don't go as we plan. Sometimes we get out of God's will. And I like what one of the stanzas says. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering far from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. And then this is the verse that really comes home. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take it, seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Can I tell you today, that was Daniel's prayer in one sense. He knew the nation had wandered away, but he so desired to be back right in the eyes of God. He desired so much to be in God's mercy and grace, and so he seeks the Lord with all of his heart. Can I tell you today, that's our prayer, or should be our prayer. And for anyone in here, you can have that same relationship. You can have the face of God shine on you today through Christ Jesus if you'll simply call out, if you'll simply seek him. He's made the way. It has been freely given. All we have to do is call upon him. The Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Let that be you today. If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, simply call on him. If you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment, think about your life today. Just as the nation got away from God, God chastised them and brought them back. And so sometimes today it takes chastisement. It may take events in your life. Or it may take an uncomfortable sermon like this. But you recognize that I'm living in sin that God does not want. So why not turn from that and turn to him? Why not flee that and seek him? Why not trust him today? Maybe for the very first time, you need to call on Christ and say, Lord Jesus, save me. He surely will. Or maybe you are a believer and you know your life's not being lived as it should. Why not today commit to living right? Commit to following him. Confess your sins. Repent. And trust the one that always gives mercy and grace for those that call to him. He is faithful and sure. Why not today? You leave here faithful to the Lord as well. God's calling. Would you simply respond? Thank you, Lord, for all these things. Thank you for Daniel and his faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for revealing much to us today through his word. Help us to be found faithful ourselves. Bless today. Bless the people. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name,
Amen.